Episode 295, April 17th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Not live tonight because Joe, as you're hearing this, is in Denver, Colorado, of all places. You're like, you and Katie are just world travelers. Something. You were in Vegas last month. Now you're going to Denver. What's going on?
Well, if I'm going to pull the curtain back, I'm about 3 months removed from getting a huge raise in my income because I will no longer be paying my ex-wife any money. And that affords me some latitude in order to, you know, to be able to do some things like travel, as an example.
Well, that's good for you. You deserve it. Are you? Can we go over the list of places that's on the bucket list? Because obviously, you know, you've been to Vegas. I think Denver is the first time, right?
This is my first time to Denver. Katie's never been to California, if you can believe
okay.
that.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, we're going to probably, if I go to California, I'll probably go to visit Robbie and my cousin Eddie. He lives in San Francisco. That'll probably be the first California trip we make. I plan on making that in 2018. This year, we went to Vegas. We're going to Denver, and we're also going to Charleston, South Carolina, and Ocean City, Maryland. Yes.
So you're going to go to Northern California.
Well, is that considered Northern California?
It is. Is that the question? Yes. San Francisco is Northern California.
Then yes.
The Bay Area. That's where my mom is from. And every summer when I was a kid, I would visit my grandparents out there. And that's where they learned how to play golf. And they lived in some, neighborhood with everyone was 55 plus, basically. And so I sort of stood out. But
maybe
that's also...
Maybe I'll go visit them while I'm out there.
Yeah, they're dead.
You want to go see Veronica Belmont while you're in San Francisco, Joe?
Yeah.
So Rob's grandparents' graves and Veronica Belmont and my cousin Eddie. Got it.
And that's where I started a fire in my grandparents' house, and then they blamed.
Tell the story, please. How did it happen?
Well, I guess I was going through a fire phase, and you know those matches they'd have in the bathroom, just to light, you know, to get rid of the smell.
Yes.
I decided to light one and then put it in the trash can, you know, with paper in it. And of course, you know, I didn't try to hide it. We were having dinner. I excused myself to go to the bathroom. And then I come back to eat. And then, of course, the smoke alarm goes off. And now that was it. And then I still try to blame it on someone else. I said someone snuck in. I mean, I was a horrible person. And the fire came over and they lectured me and my mom, and then my grandparents were lecturing my mom, and she really took it bad because everyone was just yelling at her. I want to apologize, Mom.
Was there damage done to the bathroom that had to be, you know, costly repairs?
There was smoke damage done. Yes. I mean, you know, they had insurance obviously, but But yeah, there was damage done. Yeah.
So let me tell a story that I've never told. Robbie doesn't know this. My parents don't know this. Nobody knows this story.
Oh, boy.
My friend Mark Quavala and I don't know if I'm supposed to give his last name, but that's who he is. He lived a few doors down, and we used to play out in the cornfield. The cornfield was behind, it was across the street, behind the houses across the street was the cornfield. And in the summer, they would, after they took the corn down, they tore the corn down, it was feed corn, and then it was very dry and arid and corn stalks, and it was probably super flammable. And Mark Quavel and I are out there playing with matches, and we set the cornfield on fire. So after we set the cornfield on fire, we try to put it out, you know, banging our shirts against it. I mean, we're spreading it.
Right.
By the cornfield, Rob, you think it was a square mile, the cornfield?
Oh, yeah, sure, easily.
Yeah. So we set the cornfield on fire. We run back, and we tell his dad, someone set the cornfield on fire.
And they bought it?
They go out. No, they go out with a team of shovels and people, and they dig ditches, and they finally corral this football field of fire. I mean, we set the cornfield on fire.
Jeez.
And he comes back, the dad, and goes, I know they set that cornfield on fire. And Mark's mom's like, no, they didn't. Leave these boys alone. And I went home, and I never said a word about it. Never.
Good for you.
Never said a word.
That's awesome. Good thing we didn't know each other. We were kids. We've been starting fires left and right, getting into arguments.
Yeah, our grandparents calling people names in the bathroom too. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, I guess that was the thing back then. Another story.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I also remember, and I wasn't even really a little pyro, but I remember one time my cousin Bob put lighter fluid in his hand and set it on fire and then put it out with his hands. I thought that was the coolest thing I ever saw. So every once in a while, I just go into the workshop. My dad had a workshop, and I put lighter fluid in my hand, and I do that. And one time I set my hand on fire. I remember it was hard to get it out. Eventually I got it out. My hand was all blistered. I remember keeping my hand hidden for several weeks until it actually healed. But yeah, I burned my hand with lighter fluid as well.
I think it's not uncommon to be infatuated with fire. I mean, why do people love dragons? Because they shoot fire. That's just so cool.
Yeah, if they don't breathe fire, they're just a big lizard.
Exactly. That's lame. So this is something that happened when I used to go visit and I'd play tennis, right? And they had tennis court there. And you know, I was pretty good, but I was still a kid, right? And they have some sort of, I don't know what they'd call it, a tournament. Now, these are all retirees, basically. And I'm playing. Somehow they let me play, right? And I'm winning. I get to the finals. Well, I get to the finals because they're letting me win, because I'm a kid. Well, the guy in the finals is like, fuck that. I'm not letting this kid beat me. So he's like serving with his giant spin, and I can't even hit it. I'm missing. I can't even, not only can I not hit it back and in or over the net, I can't even connect. It's like you'd never play baseball, and suddenly, you know, you've been playing T-ball, and now that there's a curveball, and you have no chance. So I realize now that this guy's not going to let me win. I just get on the ground and start crying and act like that I was too hot, that it was heat, you know, it was dehydrated. And they took me off, and they put me in the pool to cool off. And it was such a bitch moment, because it was,
and
like,
you were 15 years old at the time.
No, I feel like the part of me says, you know what, that was a moment in my life that I need to reverse that. I need to, when something gets really hard, I need to not quit. I need to persevere, because I quit like a little bitch. And that guy, you know what? I don't think he felt bad about it either. He's like, fuck that little kid.
You were like the kid who rooted for Northwestern that was crying. If there was iPhones at the time, you would have gone viral, 100%.
I would have. It would have had me missing. It would have had me beating all these other people, and then me get to the finals and just whiffing on serving or returning serve. So enjoy Northern California. You have a good time. Go to Alcatraz. You'll like that. I don't know if you can still sightsee there. I went there as a kid, fascinated by prison. Prison and fire. I was a weirdo. Anyway, welcome to the show. We're not doing it live, obviously. We talked about that. I have some great stories from Gramps. He is now taken the liberty of, instead of sending the stories to you, Joe, he's not satisfied with your reading of his stories. He's not satisfied with you selecting his stories. He thinks that you're holding back. So he has cut you out of this, and he is sending these stories directly to me. And I don't want to say him tonight, reading tonight, because he's not in chat, because there's no chat. So I want to wait till next week when we're back live and read some brand new, fresh off the press Gramps stories.
Now,
get Gramps' real reaction.
Give me your opinion of the stories. Are they all diamonds? Are there some, you know, zircons in there? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, it's, look, I'm not going to act like it's not more of the same, but the same is great. So, you know, it's like AC/DC, another song about balls. That's okay. I like it.
Right. So, another right? story about some black woman sending pictures of her tits. Got it.
Yes. You know, it's all good stuff. I posted a picture today on Facebook that from the Improv, and like people thought it was a nice picture, a lot of compliments. And of course, Graham says you should have a bag over your head. That's his comment. Yeah. Doesn't try to make it funny. Just put a bag over your head.
It is, you know, I was thinking about this. Donald Schaefer, for those people who are in the area, he was the governor of the state of Maryland for a while. He was the mayor of Baltimore as well. But he got real old, and he was still in politics on some level, and he used to make lewd comments to women, but he would get away with it because, you know, 85-year-old men are allowed to do that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Well, my father clearly is in the same situation. He is able to do those things. But he, so at the show at the Rams Head in Annapolis, which was, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, some of my, they were my coworkers. They were my employees. You understand? They work for me. They're not somebody who sits at the desk and they're my peers. They are under my employ. Okay. I tell them what to do during the course of the day. I can hire and fire them. They work for me. And they were kind enough to spend the hard-earned money to come to this show. I didn't realize this until recently, and they told me some of the things my father had said to them. Would you like to hear that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it's five girls of all shapes, sizes, ethnicities, ages, and he says to them, the first thing he says, which one of you would win a booty contest? Now, I'm not sure. What does that mean? What is there even such thing as a booty contest? Is that who has the nicest ass? Who has the biggest ass? Like, what is it that he's saying to these girls? By the way, every one of these girls but one is in their 20s. And my perverted father is saying to them, which one of you has either the biggest ass or the nicest ass? By the way, he's known them for 5 seconds. That's what he said.
Is there a clear winner in that group, or you can't speak on that?
I don't know, but
probably should.
Then he says, which one of you can I take home? So he's offering to bang one of them.
Yeah.
So
he's what you say when you go into a brothel. He's saying, he's talking to them like that.
Again, these are the people that, you know, we have a human resources department. You can't just say shit to people.
So you're never going to bring Gramps to work then?
Well, hold on. It's not done. It's not over. They go. We don't know which one. He goes, well, how about all of you? He offered to have a sixsome with the people that work for me.
Oh, Mag Bergson's so happy right now.
I mean, that I can't be fired for that, right? That happened. I'm not responsible for what he says, and it happened away from work, right? That can't. There's no consequences, right?
I think you're okay. It's, you know, it didn't happen at work. You can't, you know, Gramps is his own person. You can't control him.
Isn't Tuesday bring your Gramps to work day?
I wonder if it's possible that next thing you know, I find out that he's decided to leave my stepmom and he's dating one of my employees.
Oh, please let that happen.
yeah, it's good for the show.
Yeah, by itself, it's not a problem, Joe, but if somebody was building a case, it might be a piece.
Last week, we talked about a potential live show and what it might happen there. And Mac Bergson are on everyone's Mount Rushmore, Robin Joshua listeners, except for Robbie Robinson. He says he's come up with his dream Rob and Joe variety show. And it's quite good. You didn't see this, Joe, because you're not on Facebook anymore. He has Marcus Serta as the MC.
Yeah, that's good.
Gramps open show with an original poem. Then followed by a Michael Chamberlain magic show.
Okay.
Then Scott Apple lightsaber interpretive dance. Then number four, Tommy Cimbazzo as Chris Restivo does 5 minute set. Then Eric Woodworth does 5 minute best of the best abortion joke set. Then six, Robbie and Katie karaoke to Don't Go Breaking My Heart while sitting on beanbag chairs. Distract Robbie. Seven, Gramps and Walker Hayes reenact the pottery scene from Ghost.
I mean, is there anybody who wouldn't be on board? I mean, everybody would do everything that's in there, right?
Yes. Number eight, Jeremy Woodworth as Pogo the Clown makes anatomically correct balloon animals for the crowd.
That's that would easy. Okay, yes. Next.
Number nine, Tony Perkins interviews Tawanda to try to get to the bottom of the question everyone is asking, why do you stick around? And number 11, no wait, no, number 10, Rob does 20 minutes set minus the adoption and Radio Shack jokes. And then number 11, Joe does the pie plate closer.
I think that could be done. That's a long show. We might need to cut the magic and put it at the beginning because it couldn't be, you know, it's not radio friendly. And I also think the Scott Apple lightsaber interpretive dance, I think you would be highly disappointed in that. We might need to change that to something else. But everything else, I think, is dead nuts. We could just lift that and make that the live show.
Now, I do. Mac is brilliant. And once again, he's nailed it. He understands our show. Could he now be on the Mount Rushmore? Robbie, are you sticking to your guns?
No, that's elevated him to a new level. That's great stuff.
Congratulations, Mac. You finally made it. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under $1 a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, June 21st at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So we mentioned the great Eric Woodworth dick controversy with him, having a sort of hangout at the Murder Mystery in Annapolis. And this past Thursday night, we did another murder mystery, same one, Back to the 80s, this time at McGooby's Joke House. Excellent show. But we talked to Eric about the dick situation and wearing this leotard. And should he have it tucked or have it in the dick hole sling, if you will. And I guess he sort of did something in between. Right, Joe?
Define what you're referring to. By the way, real quick, before we explain what he did, I was in the green room and Eric was changed. He didn't have his pants on. So I'm like, fuck this. I walk out. I mean, I've seen enough of this. I'm about to see a lot more. So I walk out to the showroom and I start doing some of the work that needs to be done in there, you know, where you're getting people to play roles and putting, you know, paper on tables and things like that. I walk back into the green room. I don't want to exaggerate. It was between 5 and 10 minutes later. Still doesn't have his pants on. There's no reason. How long does it take you to put your pants on?
30 seconds.
I didn't notice anything. What you're about to explain is going to be foreign to me. I didn't know. I just saw it was gone.
Well, no, because he had some napkin or whatever in there to pat it.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Wiped the sweat off his head after he did his dance.
Yes, he took the napkin and he tucked it. Instead of it being out, you're right. He tucked it in, right, so it made him look like he was doing better than he actually is, right? And then he used it to wipe the sweat off his forehead. I'm okay with that move. That move didn't bother
me. I'm okay with it, too. Yeah, it went over well. Of course, he crushes it like always. It was a good show.
Strangest thing that happened, I thought, and this has never happened before, and I'm surprised. And I would like to go back and think of and count how many shows we've done, but we have to be nearing 50 shows. Would you agree?
Yeah, I counted not so long ago because I wanted to say we've done over 50 shows, and it was close enough for me to say that lie. I'm comfortable with that. So it was definitely in the low to mid 40s. Yeah, we're probably at 46, 47, something like that.
But in this murder mystery, one of the characters is Jessica Fletcher, the Angela Lansbury character from Murder, She Wrote. That somebody is Jessica Fletcher in this 80s murder mystery. But for the first time, and are you surprised this has never happened, the person we gave the binder to took the binder and gave it to a man at their table.
Yeah, that's the first time. It's surprising. Yeah.
Never happened before. And this guy... First of all, it was awful, but it worked because Justin just shit on this guy. But he did this woman's voice. And if not for Justin, this would have made me so uncomfortable. But he never broke character. He never broke character. And he looked like a very terrifying meth head. And that was explained to the audience, and everybody concurred that that's what he looked like. But for the first time ever, a man played a woman. I believe that's progressive for us, right? We were actually...
He committed to it, though. I thought he did a great job. He actually likes our Facebook page, Die Laughing Productions, and he commented, "Great show." And I told him he was amazing. I thought he committed to it, and Justin kept messing with him, and he didn't stop because Justin would mess with him. He kept going, doing what he was doing, and it was definitely one of the highlights of the show.
It was a great show, by the way. I it's got such great feedback. And I mean, I'm not going to kiss our own ass, but just I'm really, really happy with this new show. And that was only performance number two. But you are right. That guy committed. That was something we'd never seen before. And I loved it.
June 21st, DC Improv, July 1st at the Bright Box in Winchester. And we'll do Back to the 80s again at Magoobies, which is probably over the summer. And then June 11th, we're doing The Last Laugh again in Syracuse at the Funny Bone. Jordan, you guys aren't going to make that, but we are going to do Sing for Your Life in Jordan as a part of our little three-night comedy thing. And in that show, it's sort of American Idol parody, Eric Woodworth does the song Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus. And in that video, she has tighty whities on. So obviously, you know, eventually that's what Eric is wearing. But there's also a thing that he does where he has a sort of a miniature wrecking ball tied to this chain that's around his waist that he unveils at the end out of his underwear. And he says, yeah, I don't know if I should put that in my check bag or if I should just have as a carry on, because that would be a funny conversation with the TSA agents. And I'm like, Eric, we don't want funny conversations. And we definitely don't want a conversation in Jordan when we're having to explain what the fuck this is and why you have it, because that would be all time level awkward and uncomfortable.
We've talked about this before, but I mean, and the big moment was at Sean Gabbert's wedding when those idiots couldn't control themselves at the ceremony itself. And they were laughing. And I mean, are you worried? I mean, we exaggerate national incident, but obviously these guys, when I say these guys, it's really Eric. In an attempt to make everyone else laugh, I mean, it's not zero. Where are you in terms of there being an issue where the show can't go on because he's done something? Is it below five?
I'm not worried that the show will stop. I'm worried that it won't be received well enough for them to refer us to other places. So that would be my concern. No, it's not a five, but it's definitely 3.5. And, you know, I've told him, I don't, you can't do any abortion jokes. Okay. You can't, I mean, it's not that the crowd isn't, I mean, they're military people. They're, you know, they're out there shooting people. They're not, they can handle any of these jokes, but the military itself, you can't have out there, you know, making fun of, you know, religion and the military and any president or shit like that. And sexual harassment and things like that, that the military is very sensitive about, you know, if you follow the news, just any sort of sexual assault stuff. So not that any of these guys talk about that, but I, you know, you might have a little aside that at a comedy club you throw out, it's no big deal, but here it could be an issue.
Well, we talked about it a couple shows back, and Eric had shoved the sock in that cod piece or whatever you call it that was in his leotard. And I said to him, like, hey, you can't do that. And he thought that just meant, you know, make a smaller dick. So, yes. you know, you have to be very specific when you provide instructions to him on what he can and cannot do. But again, I won't be there. So, I mean, if the story's great, I'll be fine. But, you know, yeah, you might want to.
Well, I'm going to ask the guy, our contact there. I might have him, I might show him what Eric's going to do first and get his okay. This guy's super cool. He asked if we could stay an extra night and then we could go to the Dead Sea and he'll get us a hotel there. We're going to try to make that happen actually the first night now because it wouldn't work to stay an extra night. I couldn't, the flights won't let me do that. But this guy says, you know, half joking, half serious, I got contacts. I know the Pablo Escobar of Jordan. So I'm like, okay, yeah, well whatever your contacts are, you can just hook us up with a hotel room one night. Yes, we would much prefer that.
Well, don't get murdered.
No, I don't want to get murdered, Joe, but thanks for pointing that out. We're not going to get murdered. I mean, there's more of a chance we get murdered there than probably here, but, you know, what are you going to do, right? This is what we chose to do in life. Is entertain the troops with murder mysteries involving Eric Woodworth being Miley Cyrus.
There's risks. I got you.
There are risks. So that's your Eric Dick update. Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. It's funny, not funny, but literally as I'm talking to you right now, I got a phone call from his cousin who I'd mentioned was wanting to manage me. Who I'd met years ago. I worked with Charlie at the DC Improv years ago, MC'd, and he and his brother, his manager, they were the feature comic. They were drinking Patron, and the bar didn't sell Patron. It happened to be Luis, the bartender's personal bottle that he was just basically hooking them up with. And I knew that, you know, they went through the whole bottle. And the next night, Luis wasn't going to be there. So I thought, you know, this is my chance to be the cool guy. And I'll go buy some Patron and I'll hook them up, right? And I go to the liquor store and they have gold and they have silver. And I don't really know anything about tequila. And I didn't remember which one they were drinking. And so I just said, well, gold has to be better, right? I mean, you go to the Olympics, you want to win gold, not silver. So, and it costs more. Like $60 versus $55. I'm like, all right, I buy the gold. I bring it. They're like, yeah, we drink the silver. Okay. So they just didn't drink it. But he ended up inviting me back. I got to go to the hotel room and drink out of the mini bar and hang out. He was super cool. So I didn't even know he was sick. But rest in peace, Charlie Murphy, dead at the age of 57. He's probably on the, you know, the Mount Rushmore of comedy sketches, right?
The Rick Prince James.
And the Rick James are probably two top 10 all time.
Yeah.
Not many people could say that. And he was interesting in that he never did stand up. And then the Chappelle Show made him super famous. And then, you know, stand up is hard. So just to go out there and headline.
Well, he had some pedigree, if we're being honest, right?
Well, yeah, but it's still hard.
It is hard, but he was also a funny guy, and he saw how it was done. You know, he was around it and how it was done, you know, really to perfection, if you're talking about the early Eddie Murphy stuff.
Yeah, but he was a guy that if he didn't do well, like at a college and they didn't like him, he tore the check up. He wouldn't accept the money. I mean, he wanted to earn it.
Well, that's because his brother was worth $100 million. That's probably or more than that, actually.
That doesn't mean he's giving him any. You know, how much money do you give Robbie?
Well, you know, the stories. Well, I don't have $100 million, but if I did, Robbie would get some. But, you know, the stories that he tells about, you know, Rick James and Prince, those are that he's part of his brother's entourage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 100% he was, you know, there was something he was getting hooked up by his brother.
Yeah. So I guess this is the year of the comedian dying, because we've had Rickles, Charlie Murphy. Last year was the musician. Is that what's going to happen?
You worried? That's why I quit. I was worried about getting killed.
Yeah. I think you're going to be fine. So we almost told this show on the boner show. We just recorded a new boner show. Patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. You pay your $5. You hear that show. It'll be out like this week, Robbie, maybe?
Yeah, sometime this week.
Okay. So not only do you hear that, when you get to hear the others as well. So there'll be five total. So get on it. We're at 49 patrons. Let's get to 50. Come on, people. Give us your money. But we wanted to save it for this show. You had a flower florist delivered situation to your house, Joe?
So there's a knock on the door. I think it was Wednesday night. And it's the neighbor. I don't know the neighbor. It's actually the neighbor's daughter. She's just visiting. She said, hey, somebody gave these flowers to us and said, hey, they were for this apartment and you guys weren't home, and asked if we could bring them by a little bit later. So, and we were like, oh, did they say who they were for? And they said, no, they specifically said that, you know, there's no name who they're for. And the card said, thinking of you. Now, Katie and I have been dating for, you know, over 3 years. So, of course, this causes some tension. You know what I mean? When somebody delivers flowers, is thinking of you, and neither one of them delivered to the other person. So it was a really, I mean, again, nothing outrageous, but there was, you know, who would do something like this? Is somebody, you know, trying to sabotage our relationship? You know, in the back of your mind, are you being faithful? You know, there's all kinds of issues and this lasted for, you know, a day and a half or whatever. Well,
did you have a guess? Were you leaning one way?
No, I mean, I didn't have a guess. I did think that maybe, look, I mean, everybody has people in their past, and I didn't think it was a pink vase. So, and the flowers were pink, and whoever sent them was trying to, I think, make me think that Katie was getting flowers.
Right.
Now, obviously, I have people in my past. I'm sure she has people in her past who would probably be willing to try to sabotage this relationship. But I really didn't think that there was anybody out there that would do something like that. I really didn't. But where are we going with this? Like, what's the issue? I mean, I'm sorry. What else am I supposed to think? I mean, what direction would you go? I mean, it's not funny.
I think that's the obvious direction, is that it's someone who either has a crush or a secret admirer or someone from the past.
Yeah, it's looked more like a saboteur, if I'm being honest, right? Somebody who's trying to create a problem.
Right.
So, you know, again, there's tension, but nothing crazy, but it's not comfortable. You know, we have to deal with this, whatever it is. Well, that was Tuesday. So Wednesday night, I get a text from Katie. My dad sent those. The dad's laughing like he's cackling. Like it's the funniest thing he's ever done. And she's like, why would you do something like that? And he's just like, ha, 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 ha. He sent flowers to try to get Katie and I into an argument as a practical joke.
Now, do you think that's hilarious, or are you like, that's a little bit much?
No, I think it's hilarious. I do. I think it's hilarious. At this point, I think it's hilarious, right? Because as soon as we find that out, all the tension's gone, right? There's no more tension anymore. And I think it's hilarious that this is what he thinks is funny. This is like Robbie-style humor. You know, where you're trying to, you know, get to somebody. You know, you want there to be harm done. You want there to be some battle scars from the prank that I do. But no, when I see him, I'm going to let him know, hey, aces, my friend. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get you divorced as a practical joke.
Yeah. Are you a little concerned that subconsciously this is what he really feels? And this is, he's doing it as a joke, but deep down he would really, you know, he wants his daughter to have children, right?
I mean, if I'm being genuine, I don't think that's what it is. I think that sometimes you may do some practical jokes. You don't think through how maybe serious they could be taken. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm sure that he thought the foundation of a relationship was such that, you know, something like this wouldn't be, you know, it might make us look sideways at each other, but it certainly wouldn't end our relationship. It didn't, right? So I think he did have good instincts at that regarding that. But yeah, this is, it's a harsh practical joke. You know what I mean? It's harsh.
Well, you have to come back at him. So what are you going to do?
I was thinking of burning his house down. Now, I don't know. I mean, what's appropriate? Yeah, what could I do that would be on the level of trying to sabotage a relationship, right?
Well, I mean,
sugar in the gas tank?
You can't do the flower trick. He's done that.
You send Eric over to his house to do a strippogram for his wife.
I could send Eric out with a boombox to you know, play In Your Eyes and yell out her mom's name.
Why don't you have Pogo the Clown do that near Jeremy Woodward?
Yeah, both of them would do it. It's funny that you say that, because I remember thinking, when we write these scripts, regardless of who writes it or whatever, we always write in there, okay, here's where Eric's going to wear a leotard and he's going to bend over and he's going to, and he just like, yeah, okay. Oh, here's where I take all my clothes off. Oh, I got to do it twice. I mean, is there something we could write in there that would make Eric say, I'm not going to do that?
No. I mean, he's not going to, you know, have sex with a man. He's not going to have sex with a woman either. He's not going to cheat on his wife for the show. I mean, is he going
to... Hold on. We couldn't write fuck a man, and that can't happen in a play. So it has to be something just that's like, rooted, you know, in reality. Is there something he wouldn't do? Is there anything that we'd be willing to have him do that he wouldn't do? I think there isn't. I mean, clearly there are things that he wouldn't do, but we wouldn't ask him to do that. I think he would literally do anything we asked him to do.
We couldn't say that he's a woman and he's going to the proctologist and he's going to be naked in stirrups. He's not going to do that.
I know that, but we can't really do that. Is there anything that we would really have him do that he wouldn't do?
Well, would we have him, you know, eat some, you know, food off the ground or something?
He would do that. 2 seconds. Of course he would. Yeah. He drank that half and half and water mixture when we didn't have our eggnog.
Would he drink a thing of hot sauce?
Of course he would. Yes, he would.
Okay. He would fart on stage, right? As loud as he could, right?
He has.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I mean, he's not going to, well, we wouldn't ask him to do that. He's not going to, I don't know. But I mean, generally when we ask him to do something, he takes it farther. Like all this, the little things that he does that take these jokes and bits to the next level. It's usually him. We can't even imagine the stuff. He takes it farther than our imagination is gone.
That's our goal. Our goal is to get him to say, I won't do it.
All right. I still think you got to let's take a break, but I really, you've got to have a comeback with Katie's father. You can't.
I need suggestions.
Right now I feel like, yeah, we need suggestions. I think Mac Bergson will help us in that regard, but Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
what if, is there a way that we can have a mixed CD that Katie's mom thinks is from her husband, and really it's songs that we've put together? Is that funny?
Yeah, Joe's Bits? It is.
Is it's it your, not... it's your comedy album?
Yeah, no, here's what I think is, I think we should kidnap, they have a dog that they love. The problem is that the mom suffers. You see what I'm saying? Like, we can go ahead and do something that is equally as traumatic, but it has to be just him. You know, she was furious too. I wasn't furious, but she was like, how could you do something like that? So I don't want her to pay. She's a hero in this story.
What if you get, you buy tickets to the Orioles game and all of you sit together, but he has a shitty seat that you got for him.
He's sitting in the upper deck and we're all in the lower deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could do that, but then he'd just go home. You know what I mean? There's no payoff.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess the obvious thing is sex tape. Send it to him.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're going to have to do.
Yep.
I guess we can ask the audience for suggestions. So here's what it has to look like. It has to only affect him.
Yeah.
It has to make him think something horrific. And it can't be something illegal. And it can't be something that... I mean, he has to be able to recover from it, right? I can't, but also it has to have Katie's buy-in, because if Katie does it instead of me, then what's she going to do? He's not going to disown his daughter, but he could certainly hate me.
Yeah, you got to solicit the wife's help and like steal his car or something.
Well,
a positive pregnancy test.
There you go, Marcus.
Stealing his car
would be good.
Could you send flowers to his workplace, but make it like it seemed like it was from a man?
I could find out his boss's name. And then I could say, I've loved you for a very long time, and I thought it was time that I expressed that love. And I signed it his name. And I could do that.
Just thanks for last night, Jim.
Thanks for the blow job. And then I write his...
Could you find out his work email and sign him up for a bunch of porn sites?
Yeah, I could do that. I don't want to get him fired, though. You know what
I
mean?
You don't want that. Yeah. Could you... Is it a way to trick him into thinking, due to your 98 Rock and Ravens ties, that he's going to meet a Raven? And then you show up, it's just Tommy in a Ravens jersey.
I don't think he would think... First of all, that's a lot of work, and there's no... Again, he needs to sweat. He needs to have a sweat. You understand? Okay. He can't just be, oh, ha-ha, you got me. You know, there you throw a pie in my face. It can't. He has to be worried something traumatic is going to happen. And then he has to be relieved of that trauma. That's what has to happen.
Well, you could say that he won tickets to the Ravens home opener, and then when he gets there, they're made-up tickets, and then he's just, after he's paid for parking, I don't know. They already have tickets. They already go. God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Robbie, this seems like something that you would be good at. You're an evil person that plots against people.
Yeah, you could do. You could camp out in front of his house, Robbie. No, I do think stealing his car is a good idea. You just steal it. You drive it around the block. You don't say a word.
Yeah, you just move it to a different spot.
we never say. And by the way, we can get his keys.
We change all his presets.
Move it, and then just put the keys back. And then he'll think somebody hotwired. Can you still hotwire a car? Are those days over?
No, it's still possible.
Well, the thing is, Joe, like, let's say you do this. Well, he's going to come back. I mean, is this, then you're going to come back again? I mean, do you even want to go down this road, or do you just want to take
your
loss?
Well, if it's something worse than what already happened, I mean, what's he going to do? Kill my family? Like, what's, you know what I mean? You're right, because I eventually will cry uncle. But do I not retaliate? It's nothing. That's it. By the way, it happened to Katie, too. She's got to participate.
Well, is he still expecting you to help him with some of the house stuff because they bought a house and needs work? Are you going to be like...
No, I think he was just screwing around there.
Yeah, because I was going to say you could agree and then just not show up.
Or I could agree and like do permanent damage to his roof.
Yeah, I think that's a little worse than sending flowers.
Is it? Is it worse?
Wanna
you just put a shingle up there and you fix it.
Tell him you got a signed a photograph of his favorite Raven. It's wrapped. You give it to him. He opens it. It's the picture of the Gramps' giant black woman.
You know, I could actually call him up crying, telling him Katie died. I could do that. And then, like, I'm just kidding, man. That didn't just happen. Kidding. Here she is. Let him sweat it for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
In lieu of flowers.
Funeral arrangements. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for a week. That's good. Oh, that's just hilarious, Joe. You could tell her you're getting married. Tell him you're getting married. That'll really upset him.
No, come on. He loves me.
Just kidding. No. Well, good luck with that. Please help us out, all our listeners. We have some smart, funny listeners. How can Joe get back at Katie's dad without ruining their roof and risking damage to their well-being? All right, we got to wrap this up. How long are you in Denver for, Joe?
I fly back Tuesday night. So by the time this makes it onto the, when will this be out? Tuesday? Who's doing it? It's Wednesday afternoon if it's Robbie, and it's Tuesday if it's Marcus.
I'll have it out Monday.
There you go.
Marcus, any Vermont Bucks updates?
No, none. Not a
Did you get paid? I wonder if you got paid.
No.
Have you asked for money? Have you said, hey, when is the money kicking in?
I have not followed up with them.
It would be a good case for Judge Judy if you don't get paid.
If they win the Arena Bowl, I want you to demand that you get something for your contribution to the three victories.
Well, let me just say that I got to say thanks to Jim Amato because he has taken the lead on tweeting them on a regular basis.
I saw
with
that.
The hashtag bring Marcus back.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's good people, that Jim Amato.
Is he the one fan?
He's my one Omericast download a week. Yeah.
Is he on the Mount Rushmore of Omericast fans?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's him and then three sculptures
it's
of
basically Jim and Mermelstein. And that's it.
Myrtle, Mermelstein, and Amato. It's a good law firm. Well, all right. I guess we're gonna go short this week unless you guys got something big to finish it up.
Yeah, well, check out, please. How about this? Sign up for to be a patron, mm-hmm. and if you don't like this last show, then just cancel. It's such a great show. It's really content that I want people to get, or to consume. Is that the right word?
Do you want to tease some of what we talked about, Rob? Show.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, Robbie's mother-in-law is staying with him, and he gives some of the details on that. But the bombshell for me is that, you know, Joe and Robbie had this story from Robbie's past, this amazing story that not only did we never talk about on the show, I never even knew this existed. It involves Robbie and Howard Stern, and it is this is an awesome story, and I'm sort of angry that I don't even know about this, because if this happened to me, I would be opening with this every time I meet someone. But that is on the bonus show. I talk more about a recent show that I had with a comedian, which there was some tension that I didn't speak about on this show, but I did on the bonus show.
And the musical taste of my son. And
yes.
That's more interesting than you think. Give it a listen.
And a brand new poem from Gramps.
Oh, yeah. Read by Gramps.
Yes. Read by Gramps. So check it out. Patreon.com/RobinJoeShow. Just as little as $5 a month gets you that show and all the previous ones. So please support us. Joe, have a wonderful trip to Denver. Robbie, another tease. Robbie is still not over something that happened on this show five years ago.
God,
he's as angry about it as he was at the time. He is classic crazy Robbie.
Yeah. It's more tense than Katie and I were about the flowers.
Yeah.
There's more tension about that, yeah. So
if you're a fan from the very beginning, you'll really appreciate it.
It's a good show. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.